Good morning.
Good morning.
Before I start, I have something I'd like to read here. And I've read it before, but it's one of my favorite poems, so I want to read it. It's called The Touch of the Master's Hand. 'Twas battered and scarred, the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the oval limb, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bid, good folks?" he cried. "And who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar, then two dollars, and who will make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three." But no, from the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening and loosening the strings, he played a melody pure and sweet, as a caroling angel sang. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid for the old violin?" as he held it up with the bow. $1,000? Who'll make it two? $2,000? And who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone, cried he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We don't quite understand." What changed the words? Swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game any travels on. He is going once, going twice, he's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd can never quite understand the worth of the soul and the change that had been wrought by the touch of the master's hand. I hope that everyone in here has felt that touch of the master's hand. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Hebrews. And this is one of my favorite verses, or favorite passages of Scripture. Chapter 9. And we're going to start with verse 11 when I get there. Chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come a high priest of the good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifers, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? I want to talk a little bit this morning about the blood of Christ. And to talk about the blood of Christ, I would have to go back to a time before the earth was ever formed. And you say, talking about the blood of Christ, you're going back to the time the earth was before it was formed? Scripture says that Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundations of the world ever were laid. Let us go to the Lord in prayer for a moment. Father God, we just ask that you'd be with us, that you'd open our hearts and understanding to the great sacrifice that you paid for us, that we could have eternal salvation through the blood of Christ and through the redemption, that we can walk freely on this earth and know that we are forgiven, that we are seated in heavenly places by you who closed the gap between us and God, that you have sanctified us, and when God looks at us, he looks at us as though we lived the life that you live. Bless us now, for we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to go back to what they call a predetermined council, when the Holy Spirit and God and Jesus were setting before the earth was ever formed, and they're talking about creating the earth, a predetermined council. And we're going to call God infinite holiness. And we're going to call Jesus infinite love. And we're going to call the Holy Spirit infinite wisdom. Now, all of them have them characteristics, but we want to talk about them characteristics that they have. And infinite holiness says, you know, I'm going to create a world. And I'm going to put man in. And man is going to love me and he's going to serve me. And I'm going to be his God. Infinite wisdom, which is the Holy Spirit, says, what if man doesn't obey you? What if they sin? What if they do that which you told them not to do? He says, well, I have a place I will put them. I will send them to hell where I've sent Satan and all of his fallen angels. He'll burn in hell for an eternity because I'm a holy God and can accept nothing less than perfection. Infinite love stands up and says, yes, you are a holy God and you can accept nothing less than perfection. If man does that which he's not supposed to, I will pay his price. I will take his sacrifice. And Jesus, as you know, man did sin. And Jesus did go into that holies of holies. And he poured his own blood upon that mercy seat that had place in heaven, not made with hands. And that purified all of the sin of the whole world because God accepted that sacrifice. When Adam put us into sin, when he did that which God told him not to take of the fruit, you said, that isn't a big thing. No, it was disobeying God that put the man into sin. And through Adam, we all have a sin nature. But through Jesus, we can have a righteousness because God don't look upon us as sinners. God looks upon us as though we had lived the life that Christ lived. He was our substitution. Him that knew no sin became sin that we might have the righteousness of God through him. Now, if you have the righteousness of God, you should act like it. Walk in the Spirit. Be that which God wants you to be. Show other people that you have the Spirit of God in you. And why? God is love. Can you do anything in love that hurts people? No. God loves you so much, he wants you to show that love to people. His biggest and tallest and greatest commandment is love one another. For God so loved you, you also love one another. You can't be denied by love. Love is one of the greatest things that he ever created for man. If I was to dwell upon love, I'd take you to Corinthians chapter 13, where it talks about love. It tells us how we should love one another, how that love is so perfect. But the greatest of these is love. I know that in the King James it says charity, but charity is love. And so God so loved us, ought we also to love one another, to care for one another, to really be concerned for one another. You know, the greatest love a person can have for another is to show them the love of Christ. Because believe me, people, there is a judgment day coming that all of us are going to stand before either the Bema seat of Christ or the judgment seat of God. Now, I want to explain the difference between the Bema seat of Christ, the rewarder, and the judgment seat of God. It's going to be a terrible thing. The Bema seat of Christ, where we're going to be loved, rewarded for the good deeds that we've done. He's going to pass out rewards not for those that necessarily won the race, but for those that ran well in it also. That was back in the old days of the Greeks. The Bema seat was a person that was a judge. They would pass out rewards for those that did well in the race. Not just those that won it, but those that did well in it. And he'd pass out rewards. Well, Jesus is going to pass out rewards at his Bema seat. He's going to say, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. God is going to look upon us as though we run well in the race, because as we learned in Sunday school, and many of you missed it, but he did a great job of explaining the difference between the soul and the body. Our soul is saved right now. Our body is not. It will be saved at the last trump when God, we call it the rapture, when we hear the last trump of God and we're gone, that's when the body will be redeemed. But right now we live in a sinful world. And the Apostle Paul said, that which I do, I do not. And that which I would not do, I do. And he was explaining in Sunday school how that we have a sinful body. We live in a sinful world. But we can overcome that by the renewing of your mind. And how do you renew your mind? By the washing of the water of the Word. Get in the Bible. Now, I've said this several times in many places, that if there's dust on the Bible, there's doubt in the heart. So the poem goes that these two are wed and none can part. If there's dust on the Bible, there's doubt in the heart. This is God's Word. He wrote it to us. It's our love letter from Him to give us daily instructions as to how to live in this sinful world. And without that knowledge of the Bible, I had an old professor one time and said, gentlemen, you'll be surprised how many of you are stuck on them theology books rather than reading Scripture. He says, get into the Scripture. Take a bath by the washing of the water of the Word. How do you cleanse your mind? Through the washing of the water of the Word. You know, many times we're out driving and we see billboards with terrible things on them. And we see news with terrible things on it. It dwells in our mind. And how do you get that out? That which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God is His Word. Concentrate. That which is high, that which is acceptable, that which is God, concentrate on that. Think on these things. By thinking on these things. You know, there's never an act that a person has done in his lifetime that he didn't think about it first. Have you ever done anything you didn't think about it? No, because it's in your mind. Cleanse your mind. You can wash by the water of the Word. The more you're in this Word, the less you are into sin. The Bible separates you from sin. Because if you're dwelling on these things, you're not committing sin. Your mind is in. Now, I know that every one of us sin every day of our life. We live in the natural flesh. And that's why Christ died on that cross. That's why He went and poured His blood so that we could be forgiven. So when God looks at you, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, He don't look at you as a sinner, because Him that knew no sin became sin, that we might have the righteousness of God through Him. God looks upon you as though you had lived the life that Christ lived. Now think about it. God looks upon me as though I am without spot, without blemish, I am clean. This dirty old rotten sinner here? Yes, God looks at me as though I lived the life that Christ lived. Because when Jesus died on the cross, the wages of sin is death. He never committed a sin. But He looked through time and He saw me. And He knew that I would split hell wide open because He died on that cross for me. He looked down through the channels of time and He knew I would split hell wide open. And He loved me so much. When He was in the garden, not my will, but thy will be done. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Eli, Eli, sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He forsook him because he became sin that knew no sin. God turned his back upon his beloved son. Do you know what that cost God? The jewel of heaven, the master, the The God, he sat right next to him. You think if I was God, I would give up my son for you sinners? Forget it. I wouldn't do it. But God loves you so much, he did. He sacrificed his own son. Can you imagine how much it hurt the heart of God when he turned his back upon his beloved son? It was a grief that we can never know. A grief we can't even dream about. But for those that have accepted Christ, he said, the eye has not seen, nor the ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love you. Now think about this for a moment. God loves you so much and cares so much about you that he is willing to accept you as a son, a joint heir with Christ. People, I want to talk a moment about the eternal security that you have in Christ Jesus. When people come to know Christ as their personal Savior, they are brought into a relationship with God that guarantees their eternal security. Turn over to verse 24 for me, and somebody read that, but I want everybody to turn there, please. Verse 24. Jude don't have chapters. Jude is just one single book. Somebody read that out loud for me, please.
Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy.
With exceeding joy. When you die, you're going to be in front of God with exceeding joy, because he sees you as though Christ took all of your sins away. That great divide that Adam caused between God and man is now closed. We are together with Christ. Right now we are together. We are seated in heaven, in heavenly places with God right now. And you say, well, hey, I live in the nasty now. You're right, you do. You live in the nasty now. We are all sinners saved by grace. But one day when that last trump sounds, our body's going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye. We're going to be with Jesus in heaven. And our bodies will be redeemed, that old sinful nature that we have. And let's face it, all of us have a sinful nature. Our mind wants to go back to sin. We have to fight it daily. And fighting it daily, it says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit means showing the love of God to everyone. Walking in the Spirit means that I'm no longer, when somebody does me wrong, my natural mind says, you can get them back even better. But the Spirit says, love. Love those that hate you. Show love, the love of God. Show Christ's love to people. Let the same mind be in you that's in Christ Jesus. Do I have the mind of Christ? Am I walking in the Spirit? Or do I not read my Bible? You know, the teacher this morning brought up, he says that the majority of churches, their biggest problem is people don't read their Bibles during the week. They only come Sunday, maybe Wednesday, maybe Sunday night, and that's the only Bible that they know. People, don't let your Bible just be something that's sitting on the coffee table all week and picked up on Sunday and Wednesday. Get into the Word daily. Let the washing of the Word cleanse your mind from all the dirt and filth of this world. Walk in the Spirit. Be close to Jesus. Walk with Him daily, because He loved you so much. He cared for you so much that He poured out His own blood on that cross, that He went into heaven, that house not made with hands and poured his own blood up on there and cleansed you from all unrighteousness. Those that have accepted Christ are cleansed from all unrighteousness forever and ever and ever. And there's nothing you can do. Jesus says, these have I put in my hand and no man can pluck them out. When you accept Christ, you're in God's hands. Neither height, nor depth, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come can separate me from what? The love of God that's in Christ Jesus. So if I'm in Christ Jesus, I'm in the love of God. And when God looks at me, he looks at me through rose-colored glasses like I'm pure. Now, everybody knows I'm not. Everybody knows I'm a rotten sinner. But I'm saved by grace. And that grace is some of the greatest things that you can ever know. Because once you know it, it's like a burden has been lifted from your heart. You know that no matter what happens in this world, you know that God is in control of it. Because he's already there. Honestly, God does not have a time frame as we. God has no past, God has no present, and God has no future. He is all of them. We have a past, present, and future. And when God looks at you, he looks at you as though you're in that ramp. And as I told the church once before, that I personally believe that when you die, to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. Now think about it a minute. To be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. When you die, I think you're stepping in God's time frame. You're no longer in this one. You're with Jesus. And you know, we talked about people passing on, and it's a sad thing for us. But it may not be a sad thing for them. I lost a great friend, Sue Ragland, here recently. I know that she's gone to be with Jesus. Would I have her come back? No. Knowing she's tasted that heavenly realm, I don't want her back here in this world suffering. Pain is a bad thing, but not always death. Because many of us see death as an enemy that we want to fear. Sometimes it's one of the greatest friends that have ever crossed your path, because it sets you free from sin. Set you free from the sorrow. It sets you free from the pain. And when you're in God, you've got the Spirit in you, then you are part of God that is seated in heavenly places. You have been separated from this world. And when he takes your spirit home, there's no need for sorrow. Rejoice that person is gone. And I know that's hard for us to do, because I miss her greatly. We played cards every day at the Senior Citizen Center together, and she was my partner, and I almost knew what she was going to play, you know. And now I sit there and I miss her really bad. But you know what? One of these days I'm going to see her again. We're probably going to have a great card playing game in heaven. I'm looking forward to it. Because I know, though she were dead, yet shall she live. And that's for every saved, born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you a serious question. And I want you to think about it for just a few minutes. If you was to die tonight, or say, a plane landed on this building, do you know that you would wake up in heaven? Sorry about that. That should have been turned down. I'm not going to answer it. Anyway. That's CVS, my pharmacy. At any rate, you would wake up in heaven with Jesus, separated from this sin of this world. You would be a part of God's plan of redemption, something that once you've accepted, you can't be separated from ever. We have what we call eternal security, and there's a lot of groups that don't believe in eternal security. Once saved, always saved. They said, well, that gives you a license to sin. The Apostle Paul said, Should I sin that grace abounds? God forbid. You want to do good because God loves you. He cares for you. He wants you to represent Him. You are Christ's ambassadors. You're an ambassador, a representative of heaven. Does a representative of England go around and say, well, I think North Korea is great and you people should love North Korea? No. They're an ambassador for England. They want you to like England. Well, we are ambassadors for heaven in a heavenly realm. We want people to go to heaven. And that's our main purpose here on earth, is to show heaven to other people. But what do most Christians do? Well, I'm saved. I'm born again. I know I'm going to heaven. Pardon my French, but the hell with everybody else? And that's the way we act when we should see other people and care for them, like the lady that talked to her grandson.
Sandy.
Talked to her grandson about salvation. I think that is tremendous. And we should be talking to people about Jesus. We're not going to always lead them to Christ, but it's great to show them the way, because God expects that of His people. And believe me, people, I know that most of you are saved, born again believers in Jesus. That most of us, if the rapture came, we would be almost empty. This would be one empty building. And so I know that for a fact. And if that's not the fact in your case, I plead you to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. I plead for you that you can know that when you stand before God, He won't look at you as a sinner, but He would look at you as the life that Christ lived. I can't stress that enough, people, that Jesus loved you so much that He died for you. You know, that poem said, the world can never really see the chains that have been brought by the touch of the Master's hand. We need that touch of the Master's hand. We need to be separated from this world and know that we are forgiven. Know that we're loved by Christ. And if there's one thing that Christ is the embodiment of love. For God so loved you that He was willing to die for you. He was willing to sacrifice His Son. Do you love Him also? If you do, accept Him as a personal Savior. Live for Him. Show Him through your actions. Show Him through your words. Show Him through your deeds. Be a representative of Christ. Be a separated, peculiar people. And it's so easy to do, because you don't have to depend upon yourself. Depend upon God. Then show them the hope that is within you. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. And so we know. And it's something you can know for sure. It says in 1 John 5:13, for these things were written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and believeth on the name of the Son of God. It's something you can know. I could stand here and tell you that 5 and 5 is 12. You'd look at me like I was nuts. Well, when people say I can't know that I have eternal life, it's the same thing as them telling me 5 and 5 is 12. Because I know 5 and 5 is 10. Well, I know I have eternal life because I believe in the name of the Son of God. I trust God to be true to His word. What He says, He will do. And if it's one thing God is not, He's not a liar. And He promised you salvation before the world was ever formed. Believe it, people. He loved you so much that before He formed this world, He made a way for you to escape. And that escape is through Jesus. I'd like for every person in this building to bow their heads right now. No one's looking around. Close your eyes. I want to ask you a question. Do you know the love of God in your heart? Not just out here somewhere, but inside your own heart. Do you know Jesus? If you can't say positively that I know for sure that if I died, I would be with the Lord, then I hate to say it, but you're lost. Because God said, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and believeth on the name of the Son of God. Believeth in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Know that Jesus did this for you. Oh, my friend, Jesus died for you. He cares for you. He loves you. And if you don't know that, and you can't say, I know that for sure, then you stay a few minutes after church, and George or myself or one of the elders will show you how to accept Christ as a personal Savior. How that you, when you walk away from this building, you can know that you have eternal life without a doubt. Because if you believe God's Word and God said it, then you should believe it. Thank you. You may look at me now. Thank you for your attendance. I appreciate it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for all the things that you did for us. But most of all, we thank you for your shed blood upon that cross that we can have that eternal life. That you closed that gap between us and God, that enmity that you dissolved by your death, by your burial, and by your resurrection. We thank you for it. Father, we love you, and we just ask that you be with us, guide us, and protect us. For it's in your name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you for your attendance. I know that was short, but they told us in seminary, stand up, speak up, and shut up.